Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, would you do us the honor of tearing the flap off the end of your bulletin and filling out the back part that lets us know that you were here? And we just ask you to do that for us. We're very blessed to have you if you're visiting with us. I want to give you a couple of announcements. I want to start it. And be sure and tell your neighbors and friends who have children that Awana program, you can tell them about it. You can go online on our website, and they can read about Awana, and they can sign up for Awana. It's a great program for all the children to come and a great way for us to reach our community. Next Sunday, we're going to reinstitute something we haven't done in a while, and that's to use the offering plate to take up the offering. So that's something that's going to happen next Sunday. So be ready. It's also the first Sunday of the month, so if it's your habit to give on that first Sunday of the month, that would be a great opportunity to pass it, put it into the plate as it passes by. Behind the Walls Prison Ministry is coming up in Bonham, Texas, May 5th and 6th. If you haven't signed up for that, please do. Don't wait, because it will fill up and they'll close the registration. Behindthewalls.com or behindthewalls.org. Sign up for that and then let me know that you signed up so I can organize some travel. Study, Return to Mayberry comes up Monday, February 13th. That's a couple of Mondays from now, so put that on your calendar. We have their third meeting, I think, this coming Wednesday in the pastor's office at 6:30. Also in the foyer, you might see a little wire cart back there that's covered with all kinds of things that's free for you to take. Some sweet folks cleaned out the kitchen area this weekend, and that's some surplus materials that take a look at it. It's under the stairs in the back. Now, if you'll stand with me, we're going to pray and begin our service. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to praise you this morning in song. Just let our voices be lifted up as a fragrance to you, to your throne, as you look down over us from heaven, as you love us, as you touch our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Let us worship you and praise you in sincerity and in faith. Bless our time as we hear your word from Chad as he brings your message today. And Lord, bless us as we go out from this changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Something good. All my justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior
Father, we thank you for filling our souls. We thank you that we are allowed into your presence and into your house. And Father, we give you praise and honor. And we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and let us worship you truly. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of James, James chapter 4. As we continue our series through the minor prophets, I want us to set this with the backdrop of James chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 10. You adulterers, do you not realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be friends with the world, you make yourselves an enemy of God. Do not think that the scriptures have no meaning. They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit has placed within you should be helpful to him, faithful to him. Verse 6, and he gives grace generously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. This morning we're looking at the book of Obadiah. Obadiah, his name literally means worshiper of God. Question for us is, are we worshipers of God?
Be glorified in my life, dare to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
Does one gauge the value of appearances? Are we defined by how we dress and what we drive? Are we summarized by the size of our homes or the value of a 401k? Do we find our identity in the value of our physical assets? On the surface, we have mastered the art of appearances. In fact, We go to great lengths to maintain a picture-perfect image for whoever may glance our way. The house must be clean, the yard trimmed and neat, our clothes cool and in style. We don't miss a beat. For many of us, our days are spent polishing the surface. We scrub the exterior of life until it shines, finding comfort in the mask of our appearances. But as the demands of image and status vary for our time, it is often easy to overlook the stains that lie hidden inside. Scars of past hurts and pains have been suppressed, unsuitable for public presentation. But there is one who offers to clean us from the inside, reaching deep into our darkest corners and removing the grime that we have allowed to build. We are presented spotless, a vessel capable of containing the love that has changed our lives. The cup is clean, inside and out.
Pray with me. Father, I thank you for who you are and what you've done in us. And I pray that we grasp how much of a struggle it is for even the seasoned Christian to give you complete control. Father, as we open your word today, open our eyes. Let us be drawn to you. Let us see your word in a fresh and new way, and let us go deeper into you. Father, let the words that are spoken be yours. Let us have ears to hear, and let this time be yours. May your Holy Spirit have free reign in this room and in our hearts. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever made the statement, something to the tune of, that's just how I am, and if people don't like it, it's their problem? Or maybe you've heard somebody have some misfortune and secretly rejoiced in the fact that they got what they deserved. We all have these thorns of our life, and to feel that or make a statement like that means you're sitting on the throne of your life and you kick God off for a moment. He'll get up when you want to sit there. And like the James' warning to us that we read a few minutes ago. James was talking to Christians. Remember that. He was talking to believers when he said that. That if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. He was talking to us. And the challenge for us is to stay off of that. We want to sit there. It's the best seat in your life. And we want to sit there. Because when you're sitting there, you're in control of everything. You're in control. Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to work our way to Obadiah in just a second. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, there are six things the Lord hates. Then he changes his mind. Yes, seven that are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run swift to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Look at verse 17. Of these seven things, there's one thing he lists first, a proud look. To be able to sit on the throne of your life takes pride. It takes pride. And it's something that we all struggle with. And until the day we die, we will fight the desire to sit on that throne. As we take a look at Obadiah today, we need to understand the background to grasp his words and what he's trying to tell us. So, Obadiah is one of three of the minor prophets who is not talking to Israel. Okay? All the others are talking to Israel. His words are not to Israel. He's talking to Edom. And to understand this rivalry and this discourse between Edom and Israel, you got to go all the way back to Genesis. And remember, this divide lives on till today. Okay, these two, the Arabs and the Israelites, they don't like each other and they never have. And it started in Genesis chapter 25. Turn back there with me. Genesis 25. If you hear, and we've heard it all our life, about peace in the Middle East, I got a spoiler alert for you. It ain't gonna happen. Ever. And it started right here in Genesis 25. Look at verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on the behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord answered his prayer. This is another one of them places, be careful what you pray for. You ever heard that? Be careful what you prayed for. This man prayed for kids, and we're paying for it today. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire to the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and these two peoples from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." That is the start of the fight, and it happened in her womb. That fight started between the Arabs and Israel, and it will go until God comes back. So she has twins, okay? Let's jump ahead here down to verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew for Esau, came in from the open country famished. Esau's the older of the two twins. He said to Jacob, Esau's the younger. Did I say that right? Jacob's younger? Okay. I stop overthinking it. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some red stew. I am famished. Anybody got a little note in your Bible like mine does that said, this is why he is also called Edom. Okay? Edom. Who's Obadiah writing to? Edom. Starts right here. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "Why? What good is a birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me." So he swore an oath to him, selling him his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some stew, and he ate and drank and got up and left. I'm going to fast forward through this. Okay, this starts a chain of events because he's so hungry. A chain of events that's going to change the world. Okay? And the people of Edom hate the people of Israel. And it started because of this dinner. Okay? Can you believe that? It started because of this dinner. And they hated the people of Israel from then on. Turn with me over to Numbers. Okay. After these two twins split up and they go their separate ways, and Esau establishes the nation of Edom. We're going to fast forward to the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of captivity. Okay? We fast forward to that. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse 20. But the king of Edom replied, "Stay out, you may not pass through my land." Here's what's happening, okay? They are making their hot tail trek out of Egypt, and they need to cross through Edom to get away from the ones that are trying to get them back from the Egyptians. And they get to Edom, and the king says, "Uh-uh, you're not coming through here." Look at this. "Stay out, you may not pass through our land." With that, he mobilized his army and marched against them with an imposing force. 21. Because of Edom's refusal to allow Israel to pass through their country, Israel was forced to turn around. This is over the dinner. Okay? This is over that dinner. It keeps escalating. Now, turn with me to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah is writing to the people of Edom. The people of Edom have been and still are mad at God. Okay? Over that dinner. Should have got takeout. Obadiah is one of the most obscure of all the minor prophets. We know absolutely nothing about him. Other than his name means worshiper of God, worshiper of Yahweh. Okay? Now, look at Obadiah verse 1. I'm going to start reading at chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 2. The Lord said to Edom, "I will cut you down to size among the nations. You are greatly despised. You have been deceived by your pride, because you live in a rock fortress. And what he's talking about there, have you ever heard of the town of Petra? It is a town unlike any other. It is carved into a mountainside, okay? And what the people of Edom would do, they would come down that mountain and they would go into the land around there and they would terrorize the people. And then they would go back up on that hillside, and it was, in their mind and everybody else's, where they were completely safe and could not be overtaken. They were proud beyond their measure because they were on the throne and they said, "You can't get us up here. We are invincible." And God said, "I'm going to cut you down to size. Because you live in a rock fortress and you make your homes high on a mountain, who can ever reach us way up here?" you ask boastfully. "But even if you soar as high as the eagles and build your nest among the stars, I will crush you down," says the Lord. Here is your major application for the book of Obadiah. Okay? Never stop questioning your motives. Never stop questioning your motives. Because we have to be on guard. James told us to be on guard to not get on that throne. And it is a struggle, I promise you, to stay off of it. And if we're not careful, we become like the people of Edom, who we think we are focused on what God wants, and we charge that with proud, boastful, and we're doing what we want and not what God wants. You know, for us, the struggle, not like the people of Edom who were against God, the struggle for us mostly to stay off this throne can even happen when we're doing good things. I want to illustrate that to you with a person. Her name's Melinda, okay? And she serves. She's a server for the wrong reasons. Watch this.
I've been collecting donations for a couple of weeks now, and I feel good about it. I found that the key to a profitable day is a little smile and the right amount of bell, because you don't want to get too crazy with the bell. Of course, I found that out the hard way. At the end of every shift, I want to get in that bucket and see what I brought in, okay? I want to measure my effectiveness. But I cannot pick that lock, and I have tried. I have tried using my own keys. I've tried using a hairpin, my fingernails. I can't reach my hand in the top of it either. And if I'm going to serve, I want to know how good I'm doing. You know, I got a bonus the other day for sticking very closely to the script. And believe me, honey, I would not be doing this if there were no bonuses, because I'm really putting it out there.
Really? Oh, really? Oh, does that mean something to me? That means nothing to me.
The other day, my shift supervisor said to me, "Well, why don't you go over to Weatherby Street and get some donations over there?" I said, "I don't think so. That is not my neighborhood. Here in my neighborhood, they see me and they know me and they make note. Oh, okay, that's what she's doing. Because I am a servant, I'm going to serve my community where people can, you know, see me and say hello. To whom much is given, much is required. I believe it was Kennedy that said that. It feels very good to bring myself down to the level of a servant. That's earning me a star somewhere. I know it. And I'm helping, and I feel good about it. Okay, and if anyone wants to say that I'm not doing anything productive for the community, well, guess what? You try putting on a wool cape, all right, and walking around. I feel like a big donkey, all right? This isn't easy. I'm good at what I do.
You ever met anybody like her? The better question is, have you ever been her? She's doing good, right? She's doing a good thing for the reason. Because she's still on the throne. Even while she's doing good things. Obadiah is only one chapter and it's 21 verses. Drop down to verse 21. Those who have been rescued will go up to Mount Zion in Jerusalem to rule over the mountains of Edom. And the Lord Himself will be king. You know what that's saying? It's just like what James was warning us about. The proud will be crushed by God, who will be on the king, be the king and on the throne. And for us, here's your major question that we need to make sure we ask ourselves so that we don't end up being Melinda, is who's really on your throne? Who's really on your throne? Because God wants to be there. And for those of us who've given our hearts to Him, we gave Him that. And then if we're not careful, on a daily basis, we tell Him to get off. What Obadiah was telling the people of Edom is, pride will be your fall. And it's a warning to us. Obadiah, worshiper of Yahweh, an obscure prophet who had the leading enough to go to a people that hated him and say, you're going to fall. We're going to pray, and here's what I want us to do. We're going to sing. I'm going to ask the praise team to go back to a song we sang a few minutes ago called Alleluia. Do you know what Alleluia means? Praise Yahweh. And in thinking about Obadiah, whose name literally means worshiper of Yahweh, what our goal every day at every point in our life is to praise our Lord who died for us. And here's what I've learned. When we genuinely praise Him from our heart, it is impossible to sit on that throne. It is absolutely impossible. And so if I live my life in a way where I am so focused on praising God, I'll stay off of that. Pray with me. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your love for us. And the fact that the only reason You want to be on the throne of our life is that's best for us. That's how much You love us, that You want the best for us. Father, let us put aside our pride and be focused on worshiping You. Father, we love You, and let our praise now be from our hearts and truly genuine for our desire to worship You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Stand with me.
Alleluia, alleluia,
My prayer for you, that you worship Him. Thank you for being here. Be careful out there. Stay warm, safe this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a Savior who wants to be active in our lives every moment of every day. And I pray for us that we worship you with our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.